Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church? With our dear sister, Sister AJ. We have a wonderful broadcast in store for you. We're picking it up. We've been talking about the Joel Osteen family and the John Osteen dynasty, and it's been a great, great, great series, and I can't wait to get into it today. This has been a very, it's just been outstanding. Before I bring on Sister AJ, let me remind everyone that if you're in need of prayer, don't forget to send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. Also, Sister Marie was in the studio yesterday, and we had an outstanding broadcast yesterday. She introduced a lecture. It was quite heady. It was deep, but it was a great lecture. And it has to do again with the technocrats and the global reset and the Illuminati taking over the world and telling the rest of us what to do. It was a great, great broadcast. So don't forget to listen to that. If you for whatever reason didn't listen to it yesterday. And without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister. Sister AJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, brother?
Well, recovering from the flu, but I'm glad to be in studio, out of bed. My body aches from being in bed so much. And I just wanna stay out of bed as much as I can. So I'm happy to be in studio to get this show done today. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And every week it seems like we have a cliffhanger with this Osteen family. And they're pretty, you know, as an apostate group, they're pretty intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Yep. So set this up for us today.
Well, as you stated, we're studying the Osteen dynasty, and we began with the parents, John and Dodie Osteen, and now we're looking at the current pastor right now who inherited the church when John Osteen passed away in 1999, which is Joel Osteen and his wife, Victoria. And last week we started to look at an actual church service that they streamed just to get a feel for how they do church, because they spend a lot of money with this
right.
big monstrosity.
Mm-hmm.
Just one part of their expenditures, they reported spending near $32 million. 1 year just for weekly services. So this is giving us a clue as to how they put on this big production, because nowadays churches become all about experiences. And even on the thumbnail, when they upload these, they live stream these church services now, and when you see the picture, when you click on the video, it'll say the Lakewood Church Experience. Everything is
wow.
experiential, focused on that now. So I
wow.
wanted to see what's all involved with that. And last
mm-hmm.
week you noted, just looking at the music, we looked at a little
right.
of that, and you noted how it looks like a Super Bowl halftime show. The
right,
light,
right.
the flashing lights, the music, the smoke, the and how it's dark in there, just like it would be if you went to see a concert from your favorite recording artist. That's how church is now.
Right,
so
right.
That's what we began looking at, just the, how they did the whole process of
yep.
of what a Sunday at Lakewood would be like. And last
it's
week we kind of left off. Go ahead, bro.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say last week we left off when they were doing their usual their declarations, because the service we're looking at was actually the first one they did for the new year. And you know, a mm-hmm. lot of churches, like, they're kind of gimmicky where they like to give blessings for the coming year and
right,
prophesy
right.
over you and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing some of that in this as well. So what were you gonna say, bro?
No, what I was gonna say was, it reminded me of when Paula White married Jonathan Cain, and she took her entire ministry staff, and again, we're using air quotes when we refer to her team as a ministry staff, but she took her entire ministry staff to a Journey concert, and in
mm-hmm.
the tweets and in the comments that her staff were making, they were just blown away by the light show, and
mm-hmm.
and then soon after that whole act was at New Destiny Christian Center. The lights,
mm-hmm. okay.
the dark, you know, the dark auditorium. They painted the whole auditorium black. So basically, they took the Journey stage, and they made New Destiny Christian Center look something like that. And
right.
I guess everybody now is into these concert gig events,
right.
you know, praise
right.
and worship.
They
and Yeah.
They have these big screens behind the stage area. Even smaller churches are doing this where, you know, I saw one church that a friend of mine attends, and I peek in once in a while, and they've got this huge, the back wall behind the pulpit or stage, as I like to call it now, is nothing but a TV screen. And during praise and worship, they're not only flashing up the words to the songs, but they also have all these kaleidoscope-type colors flashing and crosses and stuff flashing. It's like that. If you have a condition that's triggered by a bunch of lights and flashing lights and stuff, you can't go to church nowadays.
Right.
Because
right.
They'll have to call the paramedics to come get you.
It's sad because that's just a distraction. All
yeah,
of that is just
it is.
A distraction.
It adds nothing spiritually.
It adds nothing. It takes away from your concentration on God, the words of the hymns, if that's what you're singing, which I doubt that that's what
usually
they're singing.
Not.
Right. So, but it's just a distraction and a waste of money because, again, I've seen in storefront churches that aren't, you know, 50 feet long, where they have these big plasma TVs in the back. But wait a minute. I don't need a plasma TV to see the pastor. Now, the pastor's on the screen. And I can see the pastor in full length. He's 6 feet. Mm-hmm. I can see him, and then they also have him on the screen. Now, why do I need a screen to see the pastor when I can? We're in a storefront.
Right.
I mean, it makes no. But you see, they have to copy what the other places are doing. They have to copy.
They
use
these same formulas because they want their church to grow and be big like the ones they see on TV.
Correct. Absolutely. So it's bizarre to me, but this is the new trend. And like you said, it adds absolutely nothing. In fact, it distracts. It takes away from true worship. But this is what the world wants. This is what the apostate church wants. And so they're just giving them what they want and not really what they need. Not what they need,
Church is more geared toward entertaining the goats rather than it is feeding the sheep. And any sheep that are in these churches are really starving spiritually because they're not being fed or they're not being fed properly.
Correct.
And so you're just wasting away.
Absolutely. I think of Joel Osteen. He looks like. Let me see if I can describe this. Early on and again, I'm learning this as we go along because, like I said, I knew nothing of John Osteen. I knew nothing of Dodie Osteen. I don't know anything about these people other than what we've been learning through these audios, right? And they're very the audio is very descriptive. The audio, I mean, it's just telling us who these people are. But I look at Joel Osteen as a guy who plays innocent or stupid. Or he plays, he plays coy. But if I was to use a basketball term, if Kobe Bryant was the Black Mamba, Joel Osteen is the White Mamba.
he's a snake.
Exactly. He's got the killer instinct in him. And very quietly he has removed all of his rivals, right? I mean, he's just been eliminating people where now he's the king of the hill. And listen, no one's getting him out of there now because how are you going to rival a New York Times bestseller? Right.
He's written several books by now.
Absolutely. Now, I'm getting a little notification on my ear from Block Talk Radio that the show is about to be over. I don't know why that is.
Well, I see on here it's like 15 minutes.
No,
this
was scheduled for 2 hours. I don't know why it says 15 minutes, but we're just going to keep going. We're just going to keep doing the show.
Okay.
And I'll take it up with Block Talk Radio later on.
Okay.
Now, if they cut us off or whatever, but this was scheduled for two hours. So I don't know why I'm getting this notification in my ear that it time's up, but we're gonna keep doing what we're doing. So here we are today, and here's Joel Osteen, and it's a new year, and what I mean he's already got the cube out. He's already making money on that. He's got a new book,
right,
which we saw, right? I mean, he's just cranking out the material. He's just cranking out
the negative.
Right. Right. Yeah, he's just cranking out stuff. So I can only wonder what he's got planned for this year. Now, of course, he's going to have to adjust because of COVID. And, he can't sell his ministry products the way he used to. He can't hold events at Yankee Stadium anymore because it's not going to be profitable. It's not,
And it never was, really. Remember when we looked at the budget stuff,
right,
they weren't making any money putting the actual event in actual ticket sales.
Right, right. Now he was making money because as you showed, he was selling his products, which goes into another account.
Right.
That's his money. But the church forking out the money for the ticket sales, putting up the money for the arena or the stadium,
mm-hmm,
and then the ticket sales, they were taking a hit there. But he's making his money from his product sales. So.
Right.
He's going to have to try to do something different because COVID is not going to allow him to put on these events. This year, I don't see any way that we get back to the way we were in 2019. I just don't see that.
Exactly. And even though they've been back having in-person services since October of last year, it's not packed like it usually is. It's a good crowd there, but it's not like it was.
At the church.
Right, right.
Yeah. At
so maybe they're hoping the people that watch the services online, maybe he's hoping that they will get plugged in and maybe they'll buy the products and give to the church and that sort of thing. So they're more targeting toward the internet market,
mm-hmm,
right now.
Right, 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 right. You know, it's interesting because Master Prophet, and I know this is different from what we're talking about, but Master Prophet, Bernard Jordan, and Larry Reed, they were doing a show not too long ago where they got a download from the Lord,
right.
And the download from the Lord is that pastors who are going back to the old model of the church is over. Those days are over.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, these so-called prophets, they didn't prophesy that before.
You don't need the Holy Ghost to tell you that. You could just watch the trends.
Right. I mean, exactly. But these guys, listen, the reason why a guy like Bernard Jordan and Larry Reed and all these other guys, the reason why they don't want to have a building anymore, and they're so – now, again, remember –
they can keep all the money. No overhead.
There you go. There you go. See, you don't have – listen, you don't have to heat up a building. You don't have to put air conditioning in there. You don't have to have custodians cleaning the toilets after
No liability insurance and minimal staff.
There you go. See, they figured it out. Oh, we were stupid using the old model. We just happened to stumble upon this new model, and we realized that we can just keep the money, like you said, and no overhead. But they say the Lord gave them a download. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So the COVID was a blessing and a curse in some ways because, you know, it will shut down some of these folks. But then the other ones, like the real hustlers, they're just going to figure out a way to adjust. And it may even be more profitable for them.
Absolutely. Look, Sister AJ, we're smart people. The world, listen, the world figured this out before the church did, because the church is always behind.
Right.
Case in point, look at all these online universities. On my TV, you have there's commercials all the time.
The University of Phoenix, you know, is one of the bigger ones.
Right. And all these other schools are going online, right? Why?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay a professor. You don't have to give them what they call that
tenure.
You don't have to give them tenure because, look, you hire somebody, you hire them to teach a 15-week course, let's say on Genesis, right? You pay them one time and you record that. You record it.
Right, yeah.
Now, after they teach you one time and you pay them one time, you have that video that you can use a gazillion times. You don't need that teacher after that.
Wow.
Right? And then you don't, again, you don't have, who has to maintain the grounds? There are no grounds. You don't have to cut grass. You're always going to have your Notre Dames and your, UCLAs and all that because, again, you have college football, college basketball. You have those schools that make the money off of that. But all those other schools, they're all going to go this way online because, again, like you said, you don't have to pay overhead. You don't have to pay medical insurance for people. There's a lot of things you don't have to – money you don't have to fork over for. You just don't have to do it. So when they say we got to download, these idiots stumbled upon it. That's what they did.
Right, exactly.
That's what they did.
Right, and if you pay attention to certain things, you know, in the markets or whatever, you could see it trending this way anyway, even before COVID hit. But that just really kind of flipped the switch in a lot of these situations. But, you know, you don't need the Holy Spirit to tell you that.
Right. And I can tell you someone who figured this out some time ago, and she's a nut, Juanita Bynum. she used to depend on going from church to church to church, but she,
now she's on Facebook or somewhere now.
Right. And see, what happened to her was,
and a lot of them are doing that too.
Right. See, what happened with Juanita Bynum was she burned a few bridges. She was supposed to go to a few places, and then she acted stupid. So people stopped inviting her. So then she started to do her Bumblebee show and have people tune into her. So that's another dopey one who stumbled upon the internet rather than traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been doing this now for 4 or 5 years. She was doing it way before COVID. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen to a church like Osteen or let's say Jensen Franklin with his 7 campus churches. I don't know what the future of those kinds of churches are. We don't know because, again, the government can come in and start putting restrictions again. We don't know what the Biden administration is going to do. We don't know if these churches can survive another lengthy 2-year shutdown or so. We don't know. We just don't know. And we don't, listen, some people might start to wake up and say, you know what? I realize that I didn't need the man of God to lay hands on me so that I can get my blessing. You know, it might open up their eyes that at home they were blessed more than when they were attending church.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It may help some folks that need to get out of these places anyway. Now, if we can just get them to stay off the internet with these churches, then we're good. But the Lord does it for us in stages, you know.
Yeah, that's going to be the hard part.
Whenever we're able to handle it.
Yeah, that's going to be the hard part, keeping them off the internet. But the Lord gave them a download. Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Okay. So we have this audio here on Osteen, the White Mamba. I'm calling him the White Mamba.
I call him the Candy Man. You know, do you remember that song years ago?
Right,
the Candy Man can.
Sure.
Because that's all you get from him is candy and junk.
It.
That you can't really live off of spiritually.
That's it. It baffles me how that place is packed. It just baffles me.
Well, I
don't get it.
If you look at it from the standpoint of candy and sweets and junk food, you love that stuff. You know, even as an adult, you like junk. You know, it makes you feel good.
Right.
It's
a
level of satisfaction that comes when you eat it, even if you know there's no real nutrition, it's just empty calories.
Right. I don't know. I guess Texas, the state of Texas, is, you know, the great hub of the Bible Belt, and people have to just go somewhere, and they think that the church has a legacy. You know,
right.
they've been conned to believe that. So I guess it's the place
right.
to go, but go for what?
Well, it's just the tradition. It's how we've always done it for hundreds of years, that this system has become a part of how we do things. So we think we can't worship God, we can't be faithful to Him and have a relationship with Him outside of this system. So it's a very
right.
it's hard for some people, and it was hard for me at when I first came out. I must admit, it's like a drug addict craving for his drug there for a little while. It felt weird not being somewhere on, especially on Sunday, but eventually
right.
I got over it, that's for sure.
Right, right.
Because the Holy
right.
Spirit had already began to deal with me and open my eyes to things, and everywhere I tried to visit to find someone else, somewhere else, I would see things, and it's like, no, I can't go here. And that's when I realized that this is systemic throughout
right.
the system. It's not just Church X over here, it's the whole
mm-hmm.
alphabet.
right.
So, but people have to get to that point where they will not only see it, because a lot of people see, they know it's messed up, but they're just not willing to let it go. And some people
mm-hmm.
think they can fix it from within. I've had friends tell me that, but we can fix it from within. I'm like, no, we can't. And how
no,
do you
no,
know the- God wants it fixed?
Right. No, the greatest example of someone who tried to fix it and realized that he couldn't was Martin Luther. You know, Martin Luther,
right.
he just said, let's just fix it. And then
mm-hmm.
he realized, you can't fix a prostitute. You just can't.
You can clean her up on the outside, but she's
That's
still going to be a prostitute on the inside.
That's it. She's
like
going to jump in the
like,
mud.
Like Hosea with Gomer.
Right. Right. It's like Paula White. You know, you can put Paula White in the White House, but she's bringing the mud into the White House. She,
absolutely.
You know,
yep.
That's it. You're not changing Paula White. You're just not changing her.
No, you're
All
not.
Right. All right, so we got this audio. Where would you like me to start it?
Last week, we remember the declarations that those different ministers were doing. We left off with that, and we stopped at the 53-minute mark. But if you want to toggle that a little bit, you can do that as far as going back.
Okay. All right, I'm just going to go back. I'll go back to 52 minutes, and then where do you want me to stop it?
Okay, they stop at 57:12, and then we'll discuss and then go on from there. But so 57:12 is the stopping point.
Okay, here it is.
Humble ourselves, pray, repent, and seek God's face. We will see victory in every area of our lives, and we will truly be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This I declare in the mighty name of Jesus.
I declare that the year 2021 will be a great year, that people will be well and they will be healthy, and that we will live a good life, and that we will serve Jesus and we'll do all that we can for Him. And then at the end of the year, He will be so proud of us. Father, bless them, Jesus, in the name that's above every name, that of Jesus. Grant miracles and signs and wonders in Jesus' name.
Father, I declare that you watch over your word to perform it, and that, Father, your angels hearken to your word. And, Father, I declare that our mouths will speak your word, Father, with boldness and courage. God, I thank you that we, Father God, as a people, will grow in love, understanding, in your wisdom and in knowledge. Father, I declare that we are people of integrity, we are people of humility, and we are people of great power. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that you are turning things around in the supernatural realm. That, Father, the turnaround has already begun in Jesus' name. And, Father, I release, Father, a greater faith into your people right now, a greater anointing in your people right now. Father, greater is coming in Jesus' name. And, Father, we will continue to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And it's in that mighty name we pray, that name above every name, that name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Thank you. at the beginning.
So there you have it. They had a little praise
right.
and worship after those declarations there. And
right.
I don't know what they were singing to, who they were singing to.
Right, me either. It's very vague, and that's the music in church, in many churches, small, large, it doesn't matter. That's how the music is. It's very
right.
diluted. You don't know who they're talking about most of the time, but I wanted you to hear that. I guess I looked at it as kind of a musical declaration over the people.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that was Alexandra, Joel and Victoria's daughter, that was singing the lead, the blonde with the
right,
pants
right.
on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Listen, not one of my daughters would ever be caught wearing pants like that. not in the house, not outside, not anywhere.
They look more like leggings than pants.
It's disgusting.
They are very, very tight, very.
Horrible.
And I don't know how they justify that. You know, I don't want to nitpick because, you know, there were times when the church might have been a little too strict when it came to dress. But they were trying to set a standard to show that there's a line of demarcation between what we do and what the world does. But now
correct.
There's no difference. You know, it's
nope.
And then the Bible tells us not to be a stumbling block. So if you're a woman and you wearing tight clothes, very, very form-fitting clothing like that, do you really think it's not a distracting to some of the brothers that are watching?
Especially if you're jumping up and down. She has a short little, now, there are some other women there singing that have pants on, but they have these long jackets that come down below the knees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking
right.
at the other women. They have, you know, they're wearing pants,
mm-hmm.
but they're wearing low jackets that come below the knees. Okay, so the
right.
jacket covers your form. This one, she's got a
right.
short jacket jumping up and down. Come on.
Right.
Come on.
And Victoria isn't even dressed like that. She's wearing like a pantsuit, but it's like one of those wide leg pantsuits, and it's not tight. But, I mean, the daughter's an adult now, so I guess they let her do whatever. But she wouldn't be up on my pulpit singing,
mm-hmm.
I mean, dressed like that.
No.
Like, honey, you got to go change or get you a long coat to put on.
No. It's not allowed. It's just not allowed. Plain and simple. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
So, and again, that has nothing to do with being legalistic. That has, it's like you said,
uh-huh.
you're to take other people into consideration.
Right.
That's you are to take your brothers and sisters in Christ into consideration. You just don't
exactly.
do that.
And even
it's
some
not
of
about
the male
you.
Pastors, they, but these male, young males especially, I mean, you saw how Matthew Stevenson used to dress when we were covering
right.
him. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
one of the preachers, even here at Lakewood, you remember the black couple that did a declaration, the guy
right.
in that
mm-hmm.
Sequence, he
right.
dressed, he wears really, really tight clothing. I saw a video where his pants looked like they were painted on. They looked about like Alexandra's pants look, and this
wow.
was a guy.
Wow.
I don't even remember what he was talking about because I couldn't get past the outfit. It's like, what is he wearing?
Right. No.
So now there's no standard. There's no separation from the world. And
None whatsoever. So, yeah, a declaration in song. It was just one big concert scene. That's all. That's all
mm-hmm.
it was.
Right.
There's no God in any of that.
Right. And what I want to know, because the question came up in my mind about declarations, and you know this is a big thing in the church now, and you're already word of faith where you think you can speak things. So I'm like, when these declarations don't come to pass, is that the same as a false prophecy, or how should we look at this? If it's a declaration, is that the same as a prophecy in that they thus saith the Lord type thing?
Well, it could be viewed that way, in that, like you said, they think that they're little gods and that they can make these declarations and things suddenly appear. But I would just remind everyone that if you've made declarations in the past, like I've seen some churches where they said, we shall get bonuses, we shall have raises, we shall have. And yes, my question is, okay, so you've made those declarations, you don't even have a job. You just lost your job. So forget about your bonus and your raises and all that. What happened to your declarations? They're stupid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what they're stupid. Because, listen, look, you're not going to get a raise if you don't work hard for it. And even there, you're not guaranteed a raise. Because if you're working for a miser, if you're working for an Ebenezer Scrooge, good luck. Right?
Or like the lady that declared peace over the nation. I mean, she doesn't have any control over that, for one thing. And so far, it's her declaration is not panning out, because it's not peace in this nation.
Right. And there's not going to be peace. And if the Republicans win in 2 years, if they win back the House, there won't be peace again.
No.
Because the nation is 50-50.
Right.
That's just the way it is. You know, now you have this 50% of the nuts ruling, and prior to that you had 50% of the other nuts ruling. That's all it is. you're not going to have peace. You're just not going to have peace.
Right.
It's nonsense. And these people making declarations of peace, they don't even have peace in their own hearts.
Right. Exactly.
It's crazy. Or
it's chaos within their families and different things. They can't even speak peace over that.
Right. No, listen, you live your life, and this is why we go to the Lord's Prayer, right? And in the Lord's Prayer, he said, what we pray is, deliver us from evil.
Right.
Right? That's one of the portions of the, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You just don't know.
Give us our daily bread, and that could be physical or spiritual.
Right. Absolutely. Give me both. Give me a good sermon, and then, provide food for my family. These people, look, all these declarations mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
In Alaska, if you don't go out and shoot your moose, you won't have winter meat.
Exactly.
Nobody in Alaska is making declarations about wood being inside the house. They better go chop it.
You better go chop some wood, or you're going to freeze to death.
Right. You better go chop it, haul it, stack it up on your porch so that you can have it when it's below zero. That's the real world. No one in the real world, nobody's making declarations. Listen, the people that work at Walmart, all those, the other day before I got sick, I went to Walmart to get a large stock of orange juice and a bunch of stuff when my wife first got it. And I was in Walmart, and let me tell you, there was a lot of people in Walmart. They have these blue wagons now in Walmart where now these people are Walmart workers, but they're shopping for people, right? Because now people are putting in their orders. So I said, is anybody stocking stuff? No, we're taking stuff. These are orders that people put in, right? And
right.
So you can declare all you want, and you can command the morning, like Cindy Trim, command the morning, tell them, you can do all that all you want, but in the real world,
mm-hmm.
people are working like worker bees and worker ants. That's in the real
right.
world. Nobody's sitting at home waiting for stuff to show up simply because they made declarations. That now, of
right.
course, Joel Osteen, he's sitting on top of the pyramid. He looks like the declarations are working for him, but they're
right.
not working for anybody
so,
else.
Yeah, when you got the candy man for a pastor, he makes you think that you can just, you know, take the sunshine and put it in a dream.
No. You better go work. You have
exactly.
to go work. To go
exactly.
work. Nothing. You please. We are not
even
God.
Even in the Old Testament, where you know how God set up the where people who had fields, crops, and when they would harvest, God asked them to leave the corners. So
right.
that the gleaners could come and the poor people who didn't have anything could come and get that get some of that crop for their food.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ruth had to do with when her and
right.
Naomi came back to the land. So even with that, God didn't just materialize the food out of nowhere. If the gleaners wanted to take advantage of that, they had to go work to get what they needed to eat. They couldn't just lay up somewhere and expect the handout. Not even God works that way.
Absolutely. Just listen, it's just like the farmer. The farmer lets
mm-hmm.
the chickens free range, right? I mean, in the morning,
mm-hmm.
he opens up the chicken coop. The chickens and the rooster, they see the door open, they come out, and then they start free ranging. The rooster can't
right.
decree and declare that the food's going to come to him. He's got to go out and free range. You better use your paws and your feet to get them worms, or you're not going to eat.
Exactly.
This is
that's right.
It's nonsense. It's just nonsense. It doesn't work.
Right.
The guy, listen, I have a guy, I can see him from my window on a fall day. I can't see him now because the evergreens in front of me are all full of snow. But there's a guy, I hear him sometimes at 6 in the morning. You can hear his tools already. He's a mechanic,
mm-hmm.
right? And you hear him at 6 in the morning. Taking lugs off of cars, changing tires, and my wife says, "What time is it?" I said, "It's 6 o'clock." She says, "That guy's already working, man. That mechanic, he's
mm-hmm.
already working."
Right.
You can hear, you know,
you work, you don't eat.
That's it. Here we snow fell, and you can hear the snow blowers. Nobody's going to decree and declare that the snow is going to be gone. No, you better get out there and start shoveling that snow. Listen, it's only in the church world where they have these people believe these crazy fantasies.
Right.
Because
exactly.
in the real world, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't.
You don't live in reality in a lot of these churches, especially the word faithers and the NARS and the hyper charismatic people. It's just a joke.
It's just a joke. I saw that guy, that black preacher, what's his name? He was always with Copeland. What's that guy's name? Money Coming. No, Money Coming.
Oh,
Money Coming.
Leroy Thompson. Leroy
Leroy Thompson. That he just stands there and people bring him checks. He's teaching, and they just walk up to him, and he said, "Oh, this is $1,000 check. I'm putting this one in my pocket." I mean,
well, he's been doing that for years. Money Coming.
Right. And the people are broke.
Mm-hmm.
The people are broke.
Exactly.
It's sad. It's just sad. Oh, my goodness. Exactly. It's just heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking.
It is. It is.
Just heartbreaking.
And speaking of heartbreaking, what we're going to listen to next, this next section, I wanted you to see this because, for one thing, this is the money grab. And
okay.
I'm noticing that this is what they're doing a lot, at least with Lakewood in their live streams. They show testimonies from different organizations that they might be affiliated with, that they support and are partnered with. It could be a church overseas somewhere, or a ministry locally that feeds people or something. And then also with that, in this particular one, we're going to watch a testimony from people who attend church at Lakewood, who are going to talk about how God blessed them, you know, when they tithe and give offerings. But what I wanted to highlight was, I think that a lot of these churches, you already know you're not going to be as rich as the pastor. So I think what they like to do is put these other members up to give their quote-unquote testimonies, because this is somebody you can relate to a little bit better. And you can
right.
look and say, oh, well, they did it for them, so maybe it will work for us. And
mm-hmm.
so I think that's why they put these testimonials up. I've seen them in small churches, and when they don't have the technology to do the video stuff, they just bring people up to the front periodically to tell their testimony about how God blessed them when you applied
right.
these principles. So, and what they did is going to be kind of interesting, and we'll talk about it once they're done. And this segment goes from where we left off. It's going to be from 5712, and we're
okay.
going to go, and it goes into the 1 hour, 4 minute, 9 second mark. That's where
okay.
that's where we can stop it.
All right, here it is.
Beginning of the year, I thought about what would I like to make as income for 2020, and so I took 10% of that number, divided by 52, and made an automatic payment to Lakewood every week. We weren't making that at the time, but that was what we talked about and what we decided to do. In addition to doubling our tithes for the year, we also decided to give a large amount to Pastor Joel's Hope TV. And we ended up believing God for both of those.
Now, you see, the problem with this is that
mm-hmm.
you are trying to bribe God.
Right.
You know, you're saying, God, this is what I would like to make for the year. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the tithing principle. I'm going to tithe double just so that
mm-hmm.
I can make the kind of money that I wanted to make. And I'm looking
well,
at the guy.
That's what they teach you.
Right,
they,
right,
they
right.
teach that in these churches. Tithe on what you want your promotion income to look like and things like that. So that's what they're doing here.
Correct. And the
remember
guy,
the faith formula part of it is let me see, it's say it and do it, receive it and tell it. So they're
right.
they're in the describing the do it part, where you behave as if you already have what you're asking for.
Right. But the guy owns a mechanic shop, and I'm sure he
right.
must have done a lot of oil changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, how many hours did he spend in his shop to make that money? Right? I mean, when I used to go out with my chainsaw and I would say, okay, how many cords of wood do I need for my winter and my father's winter? Right? Because, you know, my father's
right.
an old man, so I got to cut. So now, all right, so How much do I need? What's my goal? What? So I didn't come back until all that was cut.
Right, right.
That's it. You go get it.
Well, they're going to describe how what things they did, you know, going forward in the quote-unquote testimony. They're going to describe what they did.
All right. Well, let's hear. Let's see what they did. Let's see.
Well, when COVID hit, we just doubled down and went to work, and we adjusted our business. We started doing the extra things. We started calling customers. We started working harder. We started getting talented employees that were.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's what everybody does.
Right, that's good business. So if they prospered, it had nothing to do with tithing. You know,
correct.
you corrected some things in your business. You got good employees who know how to treat people respectfully and
mm-hmm.
take care of the customer's needs. And let me, and as you know, a good mechanic is like gold, because so many of them are dishonest. They cheat you. They overcharge. So if you're a mechanic that's not doing that, of course your business is going to prosper, because people know they can get a fair shake. If they come to your shop, you're not going to get treated like you're stupid and all this, the things that some of these shady mechanics do. So of course his business is going to continue and maybe even prosper, because he's doing the things to make it so. Even someone who is not a born-again believer could do that. It has nothing to do with tithing, but that's
absolutely
how they trick you. When something good is happening, especially financially, they tie it to, oh, well, we put God first, we gave to the church, and we didn't stop giving even though we were struggling a little bit, which is very callous that I think these churches want you to continue to give to them even if you don't know how you're going to feed your family. I mean, who
right.
does that?
Nobody. Nobody in their right mind does that. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But they're callous and wicked, like you said. And so,
right.
All right, let's hear what this lady has to say here.
Positive and knew how to do good customer service, and we just went to work. And God blessed our efforts.
It was very difficult because business dropped, and it was very tempting to stop that amount, and we didn't.
The world's idea of when things get bad is to pull in and to not spend and to not do anything, but God's way is to give your way out of debt, to plant seed.
No, that's not God's way, miss. I'm sorry. That's
you,
not God's
you
way.
You give your way out of debt by giving the people you owe their money.
That's what you do. That's what you do. You gotta pay for your parts before you give money to Joel Osteen. You gotta pay
right.
for your brakes and your oil and your carburetor and whatever else you order from the parts shop. You can't
right.
please.
You gotta make payroll.
That's it.
For those great employees you have that are helping your business to prosper. You wanna
right.
keep them happy.
And listen, once you make up your mind, look, it's not easy for McDonald's to make money, because when McDonald's does the 2-for-1,
mm-hmm.
My wife and I say, honey, it's 2-for-1 at McDonald's. She says, let's go. Any company, they put out the McRib. I say, honey, the McRib is out. Let's go. She's already in the car. She said, what took you so long? Please. Listen. These things, I mean, come on. Come on. You
that's
give the customer what they
want.
That's
just basic business principles.
That's it. It's not, listen, it's not, this is the way the Lord told us to do it. No. It's the way savvy business people increase their business. That's all.
Right. And it's not to say that the Lord doesn't honor giving and helping people, but this isn't God. This isn't what the Bible says about that.
No. Your tithing is between you and God. When Jacob and Abraham tithed, Abraham gave a voluntary tithe. Jacob gave a voluntary. There was no middleman in between. None.
Right.
It was between them and God. Giving
and it wasn't mandatory that they give, even though Abram wasn't he honoring a custom to give like war, the tithe on the spoils of war or something to the local
king.
But it's up to you.
It's up to you to do it, right? It's up to you. It's an act of worship. And again, it's between you and the Lord, because Melchizedek said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Abraham, who has delivered your enemies into your hand."
Exactly.
Right. So giving in that case is an act of worship. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is not you're not sowing to get yourself out of debt. That's not what you're doing. You're not doing that because you want a certain amount of income. That's not why you're doing it. Because you're playing with God.
Because you've been manipulated. You know, you're doing it. God wants it to be a completely voluntary thing, what you do, when, and how much.
Absolutely. So this lady's wrong.
You can reap the harvest. And so that's what we did. We planted seed, then COVID hit, and we just continued to plant our seed. We didn't back off. We didn't let fear get a hold of us.
Fear did not enter in, because I knew that the Lord had us plant that big seed to carry us through it.
Who would have thought that the best month in 40 years was June, and that July would beat June, and August would beat July, and September when school starts? And business normally always dies. September beat August. So only God would do that, but we were obedient in honoring Him financially. For 2021, we have even bigger things in mind. We serve a big God, and we're stretching our faith, and we're expanding as He directs us, and we're excited. We're excited for 2021.
Sure, you're excited. You're greedy. That's
right. And you think you've put enough seed in the ground where no matter what's going on, you should be all right. But I mean, they're selling people a fantasy, and what the preachers get, they get tangible things, they get dollars, but the people get a dream.
The people get a dream. It's just like the stock market bubble, right? People are putting money in. The stock looks good. And then all of a sudden, what happened? The stock crashed. Boom, the bubble blew up.
The bubble burst.
Right? And then what do you have? You're holding the bag. What's the bag have? Nothing. You got nothing. It's a pyramid scam. Now, again, like you said, we do give to the work of the Lord, and we do it with the proper motives. The Lord always blesses that, but it's between me and God. Listen, there are things that I do between me and God that I would never say on TV. It's nobody's business. It's between me and the Lord. That's just it, me and the Lord. And let everybody make their own arrangement with God. We find vows in the Bible, people in the Bible making vows to God. God, if you do this for me, I will honor you with this. And God blessed them, and then they honored the Lord. It's not a testimonial to see how many more dummies can follow in this couple's footsteps. Because that's why Joel Osteen's doing it. That's why he's giving them the plug.
Yeah, that's why he puts them up there. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's why he's giving them the plug.
So they can show how blessed they are, because they followed these principles and followed his teaching on it.
Right.
That's what it's about.
Right, right. The Bible says, "Let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Right? Am I making it up, or is that the Bible? Right.
That's the
Bible.
And it's in red. And it's in red too. So that means those are Jesus' own words.
Right. Right. So why are you tooting your own horn? Just do what you said you were going to do. It's between you and God. That's all. Plain and simple. That's it. All right.
Wow, that's the open windows of heaven. God making things happen that we couldn't make happen. Thanks so much for your tithes, your offerings, your generosity. The scripture says, if you'll put God first place, he will crown your efforts with success. It's so important at the start of the year to do like Patty and Perry. Make that decision. You're going to put God first place in your career, in your family, and in your finances. That's what allows God to do amazing things. Your job is not your source. God is your source. He controls the whole universe. I found from the time I was a little boy, when you honor God, God will always honor you. We're just believing you're going to see those open windows of heaven. God doing unusual things, making things happen that you couldn't make happen. That's the kind of God we serve. So right here at the start of the year, you do your part, and let's stay in faith, give expectantly, give joyfully, and watch what God will do.
Your support made an incredible difference in 2020, even during a pandemic. Because of your generosity, we were able to impact so many families in need around the world. From practical needs like groceries to school supplies and even house payments. You showed families in desperate need that God is their source. In 2021, we are believing that God is opening up doors where we can do more. More opportunities to give, more impactful ministries to help, and more of the hope of Jesus delivered to those in need.
During the COVID-19 season, we have partnered with Lakewood Church to serve over 400,000 pounds of fresh food to Houstonians in need. I'm excited to announce that in 2021, World Vision and Lakewood Church will be expanding our partnership to reach even more people as the hands and feet of Jesus. Thank you so much for your partnership and your generosity.
The scripture says in Ephesians 3:20, to him who is able to do more than we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works in us. You see, God's power is working in you, and he wants to do things that will surprise you. He wants to take you further than you could go on your own. So know, as you continue to press into God this year, as you continue to plant seeds, as you continue to do what's right, even when you feel like nothing's going right, God is going to show up in your life, and he's going to do unusual and incredible things for you and your family. See, this is our prayer, that together, corporately, as a body of believers, God is going to come through for us. He's going to give us what we need so we can help others like we have all throughout 2020. I believe that we're going to be stronger in 2021. So thank you for all of your generosity. Thank you for being here, making this place a place of worship. God bless you.
Yeah, we love you, and I want to pray for you. Lord, I do lift up all of our givers. Lord, you see the sacrifices they've made, them putting you first place. And Lord, we just stand on what you said, that you will open up the windows of heaven, that you will make things happen that we couldn't make happen. I thank you, Lord, that our gifts and talents are coming out to the full, that the potential you put in us will come out, Lord, and that we will shine brightly, that opportunities, contracts, businesses will come our way, that you're causing us to stand out in the crowd. So, Lord, I just speak your blessings, your favor, your goodness, your overflow, your abundance. Lord, those that are struggling in their finances, I thank you that things will begin to turn around. And, Lord, you will just do unusual things in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you. We love you very much. Thanks for your generosity.
Your generosity is helping us share the message of hope all around the world. Here are some ways you can give. If you're attending our service in person today, you can use the giving card in your seat back pocket. Text Give Hope to 77977. Go online to lakewoodchurch.com/give. Mail a check to P.O. Box 27450, Houston, Texas 77227. Or call us toll free at 888-567-JOEL.
It's not even 5668 Jesus. It's 5668 Joe.
Yeah. Showing you exactly where your buddy is going.
Listen, he only prayed for the givers. He didn't pray for
I noticed that too.
Yeah, he didn't pray for the people who couldn't give, who weren't able to give. He just prayed for the givers. Wow.
Right. Basically, it's kind of a subtle form of coercion because, you know, it's pressure to be among that number of givers.
Right, right.
So
right.
You can get the special prayers and favor from the pastor.
Yeah, I would say to Joel, you got 100 million. It's time for you to start. If Barnabas in Acts 4 sold his property and laid the money at the apostles' feet so that the poor can be fed. Joe, you got some stuff you can sell to feed the poor. I'm going to feed my family. This monstrosity of a ministry.
Give no matter what.
Yeah, this monstrosity of a ministry that you created and you put everybody in hock to get, you support it now with your money.
Right, because the budget we looked at was from 2017, and they were already operating at a slight deficit, so I have to think that it might be worse now. The gap might be bigger.
Of course, especially through COVID. After last year, it's got to be bigger, way bigger.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah. And those big ministries, world vision and all they always look for the big churches to give food to. They're always, it is what it is. If you don't get out there and work, you're just not going to make it. That's plain and simple.
That's that simple. And if you want to help people, I think that the Lord can give you other ways to do that besides giving to these crooked pastors. I don't see anything in Scripture where he's okay with us enabling a wolf.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's it. He doesn't need – I know for a fact he doesn't need my support. So –
Mm-mm.
And if he won't sit down and listen and hear me explain the gospel to him, he's not getting my money. So,
you can forget that then.
Yeah. He preaches a completely different gospel. He has a different Jesus, and that's that, So,
exactly.
And again, we're not against you supporting a work. We're not anti-support. But support a church where you know the church is supporting the people.
They're actually feeding the sheep and doing what they're supposed to be doing according to the Bible.
Correct. So, this is the mega ministry of Joel Osteen. It's a complete sham. So, all right, so we finished where you told me to end it.
Okay, well, we're going to continue with this because now we're about to get into the sermon review portion. But before we get to that, audio 2 is a little 1.5 minute little breakdown of this confession that Joel always makes before he preaches, that this is my Bible thing.